Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Partner Exclusive Podcast. This is a fun day because we have a new person on this time. Gerald, you are on for the first time on the Partners Podcast. We also have Jaron here, Jaron Miller, and I'm Reagan Schrock. So, Gerald, this is the first time you've been on Partners, but you're actually pretty involved with Anabaptist Perspectives. So let's just spend a little bit of time, maybe introduce yourself and explain what you do with the organization.
Yes. Well, thanks for inviting me on here. As you mentioned, I'm a newbie to this particular part of Anabaptist Perspectives in the sense of being on a podcast, but I have been involved with Anabaptist Perspectives for a little while here and serving as chairman of the board since January 2023. Just excited about what's happening in Anabaptist Perspectives. And so it's a pleasure to be part of this. I'm from Meadville, Pennsylvania. Have been in business here for the last number of years, but also have gotten involved with doing photography work and then video work, which kind of segued into a connection with Anabaptist Perspectives. And so I've been interested in that side of things, have been interested in the arts and visual arts and how some of these things intersect with our lives as Anabaptists. So that's a little bit of the background of my connection with Anabaptist Perspectives, maybe just a tiny bit about myself. I am married. I have five children. And so in the middle of that segment of life as well, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. And maybe since this is just audio only, but we're sitting in a nice little studio space that you've set up here. So you're involved a lot with the filming whenever we're filming up here in the Guys Mills, Meadville area. Do you want to say anything about that? Since that is definitely a large thing that you bring to the organization.
Yeah, it's been a blessing to be a part of it in that way. And just putting my skills to work in that sense, growing in developing my abilities there and just being able to contribute. And it's been a fun process in the sense that I mentioned my interest in the arts, and that's, you know, one aspect, one area where I can kind of tie that part of my interest in. And my two oldest sons have been involved with helping me a bit, and I kind of pulled them in. I need a second shooters. I need some help. I need an extra set of hands. So they've been involved. My oldest son is 15, and he's latched onto it. He likes to work with the editing, and he likes to run the editing software. He's gotten pretty good at it. So he has this interest as well in it, and his big goal in life right now is to produce a feature film when he gets old enough to. So he keeps asking me, like, Dad, what kind of film can I make? You know, oh boy, it's like we're Anabaptists, you know, and can there be gunfire? You know, can there be explosions? Like, what can be in this feature film that I want to make? So we've been talking about that.
Sounds like quite the process. That's really neat. So typically on this podcast, we do different things with it, but typically it's responding to audience engagement and questions. So we're going to take a stab at that today and see where we go. So I'm going to just jump into the first one here, and I'd love to hear each of y'all's thoughts on this. So this is from Shadrach. And he says this. This doesn't have to do with this video. I'm actually not sure which video this was a comment on, but what would be the Anabaptist general view on the practice of the gifts of the Spirit? Do the gifts play a part or not play a part in the history of the Anabaptists, and how did they or didn't they practice them? I think that this would make a very interesting video if there hasn't been one done already. Up to this point, at least as of this recording, we haven't done an episode on that particular topic, though that is, I think we've talked about it a few times, like, maybe we'll do an interview on that someday. It just hadn't happened yet. So in the meantime, I'd like to hear y'all's thoughts on this. Jaron, maybe we'll start with you. What would you say to Shadrach's question here?
It deserves attention and somebody to speak into who has something to offer beyond what I do. He mentioned the history of how Anabaptists have viewed and practiced the gifts of the Spirit. I really don't know. I can't talk much about that. I think I can, though, share what I have observed in the Mennonite communities that I have seen and been a part of in regard to it. So maybe I should point out, I'm not exactly sure what he means by the gift of the Spirit, but what I think of when I hear that is the expressions that often show up in Pentecostal charismatic churches. So tongues, healing, what else goes on that list? There's...
Oh, man. Yeah, that's the big one. Miracles in general, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Prophecy, words of knowledge. Some of those types of expressions of the Spirit's work. Within Mennonite communities, I haven't heard it get very much attention. I don't think I have ever, it has ever been, rarely a long time ago, heard any specific sermons talked about it. Neither for nor against. I just haven't heard it get a lot of attention. But I don't sense, or I have not sensed very often, people actually rejecting it and saying, no, the Spirit actually does not work that way. A couple years ago, I think John MacArthur and maybe some others, the conference called the Strange Fire Conference, where he attributes what's happening in the Pentecostal charismatic churches to basically a work of Satan or a strange fire. It's not of God. There's something very suspicious going on here.
Yeah,
it's
I
not
remember.
Godly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear that perspective. I hear openness to it, but also not an emphasis on practicing it. In both churches where I have been a member, there have been people who have practiced the gifts of the Spirit, either in private or sometimes publicly. You hear a little bit of tongues speaking or praying happening. And I think there's been openness to that and acceptance of it, although generally not widespread expression of the gifts of the Spirit among membership. That's what I've seen. That's what I've observed in my context. In my churches. But I'm curious how that matches with your experience, Jane.
Yeah, I think that's a good perspective, Jaron. And I would say, you know, my comments come not from a deep historical study, but more from my experience and from general reflections on what I do know of the history of Anabaptism and so on. And I think that... in my context growing up, probably similar to yours, the gifts of the Spirit weren't strongly emphasized. It wasn't something that was typically addressed in a regular fashion in our church services or in sermons and that kind of thing. And I think maybe trying to look backwards a bit in our history, the things that were emphasized in Anabaptist culture and in our historical context as that came to be tended to be more about an ethic, a way of living, tended to be more about the way we did things versus, by contrast, maybe some of these more... expressive, maybe you could say emotional, maybe more Sunday morning kinds of expressions of the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm not saying that to put down those things. I'm just saying that to try to kind of contrast against what we tended to emphasize as Anabaptists. And so I think it's true, maybe this is a little bit of a bunny trail, but I think it's true that it's hard for us to, as humans, to emphasize everything at once. And it's hard for us even to balance things very well. And so we often struggle with majoring on a particular point at the exclusion of other things. And so that's always a reality, a factor as well. So I think that this strong emphasis on living in the right way, in cultivating the right ethic and cultivating our choices in the right direction and really having that kind of strong community emphasis where we find ourselves a part of a community, submitting to a community and shaping our lives really around what that submission looks like, resulted maybe in a little bit of a suspicion of where the gifts of the Spirit can have somewhat of an individual expression. And Paul says that as the gifts are expressed through individuals, they're there to build up the body of Christ. So there shouldn't really be a tension, right? But at times, I think there can appear to be. And the individual who is bringing their gift into the midst, hopefully is doing it in a way that can be well received, and the community is receiving it well. But as we know, that's not always, that ideal is not always reached, and sometimes there is conflict. And so those things have sometimes made us suspicious of the gifts of the Spirit and things like speaking in tongues and healing, gifts of healing, and even other sometimes aspects of the gifts of the Spirit have been neglected, maybe, or maybe they've just been things that we struggle to know where do they fit, where do they belong in Anabaptism. And so I guess one of the ways I picture it is that there's a real strength to tradition. Traditions that are really built on a deep foundation and that require a lot of commitment from their members have a lot of strength in them because of that, but they also have a lot of rigidity in them. They're not typically very flexible. And Anabaptism has kind of wrestled with that problem, you might say, or with that tension where there's a lot of strength in it. There's a lot of guidance. There's a lot of parameters, that walls, in a sense, that are kind of built around our lives. But at the same time, there's this frustration that can arise because it feels we can feel trapped at times, or we can feel pressured by these realities. And so, I think what I want to say in making that point is that I think it's well for us to ask ourselves the question: is there some room for flexibility within our tradition? How can we try to look at some of these things that are there in Scripture? They're given as important. They're presented as ways that God works through His people. So, what are some ways that we can try to integrate that to a certain extent with who we are as Anabaptists? And so I know I'm not answering that question. It's in a way, I'm just saying I'm answering your question with a question, but I think that is something for myself as an Anabaptist that I want to think about and care about.
Mm-hmm. I think you had an important point towards the beginning there of sometimes things are emphasized to the so you may emphasize one thing, but then something else may not get as much emphasis as a result, right? This is just kind of natural. And I've often thought, well, that's maybe one of the key reasons why there's so much variety within the church, the global church, because certain groups will emphasize certain things more than other things. And then you end up with these wide varieties just because you can't emphasize everything all the time. I wonder if that's some of the suspicion-ish. I'm going to use the word suspicion. I think that's the correct term of some of this stuff with the gifts of the Spirit, because looking at some Pentecostal and some of these groups and how that was viewed as, oh, they're overemphasizing this at the expense of something else. And therefore, ooh, we were kind of suspicious of that. We don't want to go down that street. I don't know how big of a thought process that is within the Anabaptists. I just know I've run into that quite a bit in my own life. And that probably has a lot of validity to it. It also may mean that we can just say, well, then we don't have to talk about that. We don't have to figure out what to do in this thing just because, well, we don't like how it's being done here, so we're just going to ignore it. I've also heard that, absolutely heard that before. So not to really answer the question, but I think that was an important piece that you had there. So I'm curious on a way forward with this one. Should we just try to find someone to interview about this? Because, like, I don't know. I don't feel like we know enough about this. What do you guys think? Where from here?
I think it would be great to have someone speak into this, and maybe someone with more wisdom and understanding and historical context than I or we can bring to it. But maybe just to go back and reiterate one or enlarge on one point that I was making there is the idea of the tension between the individual and community. And that is a real tension, and it's one that, you know, Anabaptists have traditionally resolved by saying we need to submit to the community. But where that has caused us to struggle is where, you know, individuals in their gifting and what they have to say and speak to the culture, how can that be done then in that context where submission to the group in a sense is so important? And I think there is a legitimate fear there that, you know, if someone is really going to grasp onto, say, the gift of prophecy and feel like, I have a prophetic word now to the community, well, that's going to push and pull. And and what if, God forbid, it starts to fall outside of what we see as the instructions of Scripture and the purview of Scripture? Now we really have a problem. And I think that's been a real fear for us as Anabaptists, and maybe at times a fear that isn't that legitimate or that well-founded, but it's still pushed us. And an example, maybe not directly from Anabaptism, but I remember reading a book a few years ago and studying kind of the music scene and history of music, and a gentleman, I forget the author, was writing about his experience in the contemporary Christian music scene in the 60s and 70s, and as that was really coming to life, and there's a lot of charismatic type of influences within that musical culture. And so the title of the book that he wrote was Raised by Wolves, and so it's kind of a dramatic title. I think that's the reason that I remember it. But he was making the point in there that, in hindsight, as he looked back, he saw a loss of the authority of Scripture, as there was such a strong emphasis on the leading of the Spirit and the guiding of the Spirit, and somehow experiencing that and being gripped by it and just being fully immersed in the Spirit, somehow there was this devaluing of Scripture that ultimately created some havoc and allowed things to just kind of wander away from a central point. And so maybe that's an example maybe of what we have feared a bit with this question. And I think we need to get past that fear a little bit and find some better ways of thinking about that. So hopefully we can have someone on who can help us do that.
So when you talk about getting past fears, are you implying that there maybe should be more space in our communities than we've typically given for expressions of the gift of the Spirit to be present in the life of the community?
I think that's what I'm hinting at, and maybe that's dangerous ground to be treading on in a sense.
Possibly.
But I don't want to take away from the importance of Scripture and the rootedness there, and I don't want to take away from the importance of strong tradition. I really think that you know, our broader culture is just crying out, whether they know it or not, for something more strong and substantive than what is often available. And there's so much individualism out there in the sense of, you know, I I'm the most important person in my life, and the world has to kind of orient around my needs, versus a different perspective that says, I'm here to serve a community, I'm here to serve others. So I think we do need, there is a tension here. And so I want us to stay anchored there in our tradition, but I want us to think about how the Spirit works within that context. And I think the Spirit can work and can inspire us and lead us and direct us at individual levels, and that we can reach into that sort of intuitive, emotional side of life in some good ways, not ways that bring us in conflict with who we are as Anabaptists, but ways hopefully that enhance it. And I know I'm not really saying how that's supposed to happen, but what I think what I am calling for there is a wrestling with that, and maybe some openness within our communities to encourage that in some way, shape, or form.
So this is seems to me like we need to find someone to interview about this on our podcast. Obviously, don't want to commit to that because we might not. But I feel like it's definitely something that I've heard talked about, and like people have a lot of questions about this, you know. So I don't know, Jaron, is that something we should maybe think about after this podcast? We definitely don't want to commit to it, but we can commit to think about it. Yes. I just want to say thanks to Shadrach for sending in that question. So most times questions are like just like comments on videos and things, and we save them and try to bring them up here. And maybe that'll result in a full episode at some point. So, I want to thank you guys for coming on the podcast. I think we'll probably wrap it up with that question. And thank you all for listening as well. If you're hearing this, that means you're part of our partner program, which is a big deal. You know, the Anabaptist Perspectives is supported by people like you, really, just donations and so forth. So that means you're part of that, and we really do appreciate it. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.